The Athletic.
Diego Simeone and Atletico Madrid have enjoyed and endured a 12-year love affair, and it's hard to imagine one without the other. He has overseen both unbelievable highs.
No hay tiempo para más. El Atlético de Madrid es el campeón de la Liga BBVA 2013.
And crushing lows.
It's Ronaldo. It is Real Madrid who win the UEFA Champions League for the third time in a European Cup final. There is disappointment for Atletico.
This season, Atletico are on course for their worst finish in La Liga since Simeone's first year in charge. But could another Champions League run galvanise this team once again? And with plenty of big clubs looking for managers this summer, why isn't his name mentioned in the conversations anymore? I'm Ayoake Molere. Welcome to the Athletic FC podcast. So joining us today is the Athletic Spanish football writer Dermot Corrigan, who is based in Madrid, as well as our Spanish editor Thomas Hill López Manchero. On Wednesday night, Atletico Madrid will take on Borussia Dortmund in the first leg of their Champions League quarter-final, and we know it's going to be rowdy at the Metropolitano. Right, Dermot, tell us, for people who don't know of Diego Simeone's tenure at Atletico Madrid, give us some of his highlights and what he's achieved at that club.
Yeah, like he's been there so long that it's kind of hard to remember how just what a basket case Atletico Madrid were before Diego Simeone arrived. Like I was recently enough arrived in Madrid myself at that stage. And when you go to the Calderon, it was a really old stadium. Just before Simeone was hired, they got knocked out of the Copa del Rey by a semi-pro team at home. Whistles, ugly chants, players were not popular at all with the fans. The club ownership was not popular. The club had huge debts. It was just a club going nowhere in, you know, really a sad kind of situation for Atletico Madrid. Simeone comes in, former hero, you know, with the fans, had played in the team that won La Liga in the 1990s, had a couple of spells, came back as well. And within 6 months, you know, he galvanized the whole place, had gone back to the roots of Atletico, being like aggressive, defending strong, fighting for every ball, pride in the jersey, you know, won Europa League, won the Copa del Rey and won a La Liga title. And they were amazing achievements. Like for people who followed Atletico, that was like some of the best times of their life. Remember the 2014 Copa del Rey final? Atletico had not beaten Real Madrid for 13 years in any competition. You know, they'd gone like 22 games or something without. They were just kind of laughed at by Madrid. But Simeone instilled the pride. They went to the Bernabeu, beat Real Madrid in their own home in the Copa del Rey final. And that was amazing. Now that all seems kind of a long time ago because he's been there for so long that people have maybe a little bit forgotten about what an achievement it is to have Atletico in the last 16 of the Champions League. Like they are the club with the lowest budget of the eight teams who are left, like Dortmund are seventh. But so they're outsiders. They're outsiders kind of against Inter in the last round as well, and they beat them. So it's hard to expect Atletico to compete against Barcelona and Real Madrid all the time. Also, off the pitch, you know, there's been a lot of changes under Simeone's time because of the money that he's generated for the club, especially through being in the Champions League every year. They moved to a new stadium, which is a nice, shiny, new, modern stadium. And he's just taken the club to another level. But whether he can take them much further is kind of the question. He's kind of treading water a bit. You know, they won the league during COVID, which was another amazing achievement. It was kind of a little bit strange because it was during COVID when it happened. They'd love to win the Champions League, but again, they're outsiders for it. So they've kind of hit a plateau with Simeone and the club. And it's an interesting situation to be in, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering like why the board have sort of stuck with him for so long. You mentioned there, you look, the amount of money he's brought into the club, Champions League qualifications and trophies for sure. But like most managers, as we see, like the Arsene Wengers of this world or even Sir Alex Ferguson's of this world, you know, there's a point where you go, do we need something new? Do we try something new? What's still in there for Simeone and the board there at Atletico Madrid?
Yeah, it is super interesting. And a couple of years ago, there was really a feeling that they were just kind of drifting apart, especially João Félix was kind of a flashpoint because the club had invested so much money in him. He was a different type of player, you know, stylish, maybe doesn't work quite as hard as Simeone would want, almost to try and move the club to a new kind of level. Simeone and João Félix just didn't get on. And for a while, it seemed that maybe the board would go with João Félix over Simeone. But Simeone turned things around, gritted it out kind of, and showed that his way could at least keep Atletico, you know, qualifying, finishing third in the table every year. And there's just fear as well that Atletico's owners, the main owner of the club is Gil Marín. His dad was the president back in the 1990s. Cerezo, the president, you know, he's been there since the 1990s as well. And there's a lot of fans have always been kind of against the owners. And the owners remember what it was like without Simeone. So if they get rid of him, maybe they bring in somebody else, some, you know, new, flashy, exciting new coach. But if it doesn't work out, they don't qualify for the Champions League. The fans are unhappy. There's also Atletico are kind of up for sale. If you talk to people, you know, the kind of movers and shakers, people who get involved in buying and selling La Liga clubs, always talk about how Atletico are up for sale. They already have US investors who have a share in the club. Over time, they've had different people involved from China, from Israel, from Azerbaijan. So maybe they're preparing for a sale, you know, at some stage down the line. And keeping Simeone in charge is also the most kind of rational thing to do in that situation, because you don't want to take the risk of what might happen with somebody else. So again, they're kind of, from Simeone's point of view as well, it's like he's had chances to go somewhere else. Maybe he could have jumped to Chelsea, for instance, you know, 5-6 years ago, might have turned out different. But he's also been in a great situation here. He really loves Atletico. He has a young family here in Madrid. He's become part of the social scene around the city as well. The mayor got married at the weekend, was marrying like an aristocratic. His wife is like an aristocrat, is related to the Spanish king. Former Spanish king was at the wedding. Simeone was at the wedding with his current partner, Carla. She was showing it off on Instagram. And he's become, you know, part of that scene. Again, it would be difficult for him to go somewhere else and recreate what he has done at Atletico. So he's kind of stuck with Atletico. Atletico are stuck with him. And that's where they are at the moment.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about where he possibly could have gone or go a little later on. But Thomas, you know, this idea of a coach staying on for so long, it's a bit of a rarity these days. You look at, I mentioned Wenger earlier, 20 odd years at Arsenal, Ferguson close enough to 30 years. Klopp and Guardiola haven't even done 10 years in their 10 years. Someone doing 12 years, that's such a rarity these days.
Yeah, exactly. And as Dermot says, it kind of, you know, belies the fact that Atletico still remain a little bit of a basket case of a club in some ways. There's always some kind of chaos behind the scenes. I think in many ways, Simeone's greatest achievement has been making Atletico seem like a really stable club. I mean, yeah, if he goes to the end of this contract, which, you know, there's no guarantees because he just renewed his deal until 2027, but he'll have been there for 16 years, which is unheard of really in La Liga. And as you say, strongest comparisons, probably Wenger, Ferguson. Nick Miller's written a really good piece today on how we should celebrate that longevity, on how it's so rare. But as Dermot alludes to there, what happens after that, a lot of these coaches have become so embedded within the fabric of those clubs, it's hard to imagine them anywhere else. And I think the same goes for Simeone.
Yeah, one thing that any opposition fan knows about Simeone and his team is that sort of do or die attitude. And that comes from a lot of the players. You know, I think about some of the great Simeone players. Koke still there, obviously. Savic, currently there. Felipe Luis, Juanfran, Diego Costa, Gabi, Godin, Miranda. I mean, these are warriors. Is that through his design? Are those the kind of players he looks to bring into the club? But also, how does he transmit that kind of passion towards the players so he gets that, you know what, we're going to battle kind of feeling from them?
Yeah, I think that is his design because, it's, as you say there, all of those players are kind of on-pitch generals, which maybe contrasts with someone like João Félix, who's a very different kind of figure and a very different kind of player. I mean, the players who've had the most success under him, I know he released this documentary a couple of years ago, which I think Dermot wrote about, and Torres talked about how motivationally, you know, nobody is on a par with him. You see him jumping around on the touchline, and it's not an act. That's the kind of thing that he transmits in the dressing room as well. And I think you can see that he's genuine with that. That transmits to players when they're not doing so well. Maybe you'd argue there's a bit of a disconnect there. That maybe that's been when the players haven't believed his message so much. But at the moment, I mean, just look at that Inter Milan. You know, last 16. Second leg at the Metropolitano, it was unreal what he managed to transmit, how he managed to kind of conduct the crowd as well. I think that does come down to his football upbringing as well. Proud Argentine, as we know. I think there are links there. Both of those, you know, the country and the club, both see themselves as underdogs, even if Argentina have won the World Cup three times, right? But there's that kind of fighting spirit in both of them, which he's transmitted in this Atletico team.
Yeah, Dermot, do Atleti fans love the dark arts of football? No one wants to play a team like this in the Champions League for those reasons.
Yeah, Atletico, they definitely do enjoy it. And especially when they're up against, say, Real Madrid or Barcelona or Man City or Liverpool in the Champions League, they do enjoy those backs-to-the-wall performances and the warrior types, your Godins and your Gabbies and guys like that. They also, there's a lot of Atletico fans who like to play good football as well. And Simeone has over time kind of evolved the team. If you watch them kind of week to week when they're not, you know, outgunned in a big Champions League game, they play, you know, built up football from the back. I was just kind of thinking about it, preparing for this as well. Like they usually play a back three, and within that back three is Axel Witsel, who was a midfielder for most of his career, and Mario Hermoso, who's a centre back, but he's more known for his ability on the ball than he would be for, you know, diving head first to block the ball, as, you know, Atletico defenders kind of used to do in the past. And Simeone, he's kind of been caught a little bit between two stools with that, because he wants to evolve how he plays as well. He's brought in coaches like Nelson Vives, who was at Arsenal, who, you know, understand kind of more modern football and joined up football, possession football. And when they're playing in La Liga, and even against Madrid at times in the Super Cup, they do look to get it down, play through midfield. They have a lot of skillful players like Griezmann in the team. But when it comes to the big Champions League nights and the emotions are high and so much is on the line, they do have that extra kind of passion. But the current team don't have a Diego Costa or a Diego Godin in there. They don't have that kind of nasty streak to them, which Simeone himself definitely did have as a player and transmits. But they're not quite the warriors of old. Yeah, for sure.
You're listening to the Athletic FC podcast with Ayo Akinwalere.
Let's move to sort of how he's viewed in Spain, just in general. And let's actually start with Atleti at this moment in time, Dermot. You know, you spoke about, you know, that sort of hero status, you know, coming under pressure, especially last season. Have fans now looked at it and gone, you know what, maybe someday this might not be our future forever. Maybe it's probably time that we might start looking at a new style of football, or potentially even a new manager.
Just a couple of years ago, I was saying before, there was a time when João Félix would be substituted by Simeone in a game and there would be some whistles around the stadium. Like he's such a beautiful player to watch when he's on form and when he's doing his thing. He's, you know, there's few players like him, and, you know, a lot of Atletico fans kind of fell in love with him when he arrived first. I did a little bit too, because, you know, just watching what he could do was amazing. There was also a feeling from the top of the club that they wanted to progress. I remember Hilmarín did a couple of interviews talking about like the post-Simeone era, which was quite interesting. And this was around the time that Luis Enrique was going to leave the Spain job, or there was a good chance he'd lose the Spain job. And for a while, it seemed like the worlds were kind of aligning that Luis Enrique would leave Spain and Simeone's contract would end and he would end up taking over at Atletico. But Simeone turned it around. He kind of won that internal battle within the dressing room, within the club as well, and within the stands. He won people over that his way was the best way for Atletico. And at the minute, there's been some grumbles. They haven't played that well recently. Lost at home to Barcelona, didn't play well at all just a couple of days after the Inter Milan game. But while they're in the Champions League, while there's a chance to go and do something, which Atletico have never won the Champions League, come so close twice under Simeone when they lost to Madrid, both times in heartbreaking fashion. And that's still there as something that they've never done. That's something that he's never done. Interview with Azpilicueta, who they signed from Chelsea last summer, in the local press this week, and he's talking about how he's kind of joined this mission to win a Champions League with Atletico, that he's seen how important it is. He's won it at Chelsea. He can bring that experience, and he was the one who was there in the huddle after when it went to penalties against Inter Milan, that it wasn't Simeone who was going around giving that final G up. It was Azpilicueta. And sometimes Simeone he likes that, to be able to give, you know, responsibility to the people in the dressing room. Maybe there's not as many big figures in it at the minute. Azpilicueta has kind of filled in that role. But yeah, while they're all together on this kind of mission, I think, in the Champions League this season, then they will all stick together. Where they, you know, if they lose 2-0 at home tonight, they're playing Girona at the weekend, they lose their, you know, their Champions League, chance of making the Champions League for next season might come in under trouble. And that's when you would, from the top of the club, would be looking at it and going, well, if Simeone can't guarantee us the Champions League, then, you know, that's a problem. But again, they usually get their stuff together by the end of the season to finish fourth. So I'd expect it'll probably happen again.
Yeah, I mean, Thomas, I'm just looking at the La Liga standings. Athletic Club, 56 points. Atletico Madrid, 58 points. Yes, they might get fourth, but it's touch and go. And you look at a Bilbao squad who just won the Copa del Rey, gathering momentum. I mean, if they finish fifth and he signed a new contract till 2027, is he taking the club forward?
I think this league season has been really disappointing, because just look at how Girona, okay, their title challenge has now petered out. Atletico, there was scope for them to really challenge this year, and that just hasn't happened for whatever reason. There's been a couple of quite damaging results, including against Girona, actually. It's all on the Champions League now. Obviously, they've got a decent tie against Dortmund. They're on what you probably say was the right side of the draw, either a PSG side who, okay, have Mbappe, but probably maybe have flaws elsewhere, a Barcelona side who they would probably back to beat on their day. And you surely wouldn't begrudge Simeone finally lifting that title after those two, you know, really depressing results for Atletico.
Yeah, for sure. And Dermot, yeah, I mean, the Champions League's the one, really. And look at the likely suitors there: Manchester City, Bayern Munich, PSG to a certain degree, Real Madrid. If Atleti can lift the cup against those guys, I mean, wow, what a tenure. You know, they've already got two European Cups under Simeone as we speak, but the Champions League, that's the golden goose, isn't it?
It really is for Atletico fans, because they get to live in the city with Real Madrid, who, you know, seem to win it almost every second year and, you know, talk about it a lot and how they're the kings of Europe. And Atletico are kind of like the little brothers here in Madrid. It's something kind of hanging over them that they've regained a lot of pride, like from before Simeone came in. Just didn't really want to talk about football with their Real Madrid supporting fans. Now they've, you know, got to a stage where they can compete against Madrid in one-on-one, can take them on, beat them in La Liga earlier on this season. And they will fancy their chances at home against Dortmund. Maybe it's a 50-50 game, you know, budget-wise and squad-wise. You could look at it and say, difficult one to predict. And both clubs have had kind of up-and-down seasons as well. You know, Dortmund are going better in Europe than they are in the Bundesliga, the same as Atletico are. And Dortmund have their great stadium as well. So it's going to be, you know, really interesting tie, maybe not as elite as Man City against Real Madrid last night, but two clubs and two teams who do have pedigree in the Champions League and are focusing on it as, you know, a big opportunity. As Thomas said, they are on the better side of the draw. And if they can get through this, you know, they won't be afraid of PSG or Barcelona in the next round, because both of those teams have flaws as well. And for Atletico, you know, they do look on it as an opportunity. Maybe that is why some of the form in other competitions hasn't been so good. Like the difference between the atmosphere in the stadium and the intensity in the team, the energy in the team between the Inter Milan game and then the Barcelona game in La Liga a few days later, was at both of them. And it was just another world. It was kind of disappointing at the Barca game, because you go in going, oh, that was amazing 4 days ago, I'm back in the stadium now, we're going to have another great occasion. And they just didn't show up.
Let's talk about the style of football. And we touched on the dark arts earlier. I guess everyone knows Atletico Madrid for this sort of defensive style. He's now signed a contract, Dermot, till 2027. Is there a sign, or are there signs that maybe they're trying to move on from this, maybe evolve into a different kind of team, a different kind of proposition for opponents?
Yeah, like at Atletico, transfer policy is always a bit of a black box that you never know exactly. Well, Gilmarín makes the final decisions. He's the CEO of the club and he's the guy who controls the money. Then there's Andrea Berta is the sporting director. Then Simeone has his own ideas. And sometimes they sign different players and you can kind of work out, oh, that's definitely a Simeone type signing. This one is more likely to have come from the sporting director. This one looks like Gilmarín, who has his connections to some of the biggest agents around. The feeling maybe that in order to make that final step, you know, they came so close against Madrid twice, they're just defending and just hanging on and trying to get, you know, battle your way through it. They were the best at that, but even though they were the best at that, it wasn't enough to win the Champions League. So they have added more players to the club to try and add more strings to their bow. The question is whether Simeone is the best coach for a completely different style of football, but he has adapted and he has evolved. You know, as we were saying before about how they play the back three with some midfielders in it, which kind of goes against some of the trends as well. Like with City, you know, Guardiola is now playing four centre backs in a line across his back four, whereas Simeone has a couple of converted midfielders in his, which is kind of weird when you think about it. But when it comes down to it, if they do, you know, say they win 1-0 tonight and they go to Dortmund, then they are going to, you know, defend that lead. And if they are up against PSG or Barcelona in the semi-finals, and if they do make the final, it's going to have to be. But alongside that, you know, gritty defense, and they'll be so up for it, and they, you know, they won't give any quarter at all, and every 50-50 ball will be a battle. they have players like Griezmann, like Rodrigo De Paul, who's won the World Cup. Even sometimes at left back, Rodrigo Riquelme plays. He's like a number 10 kind of, but he ends up playing left wing back to squeeze him into the team. And he's a really talented young kid who's come into the team. But in order to play for Simeone, you have to give everything. You have to fight back. You have to cover your man. You have to go through a lot of time on the training ground with drills where, you know, you move 6 inches this way if the ball is in this direction. If it moves over here, we're all going to edge aside and keep compact and keep our shape and everything. So if you want to play for Simeone, even if you are skillful, you have to do that. They are trying to add extra things to that solid base that they have had, to the aggressive base that they've had over the years. And that's kind of the big challenge for Simeone to try to make it work.
Something really glared at me there that Dermot was talking about, who's a Simeone signing and who's a signing from the board, right? I don't know if João Félix was that signing, whether it was Simeone or from the board, but do you think it's a bit of a dent to his reputation that you can't work with a player, you know, super creative, great dribbler, on his day, freaking superb, and it just hasn't seemed to work? If you're talking about the evolution of football, surely a player like that holds the key to where Atletico Madrid could be going moving forward.
Yeah, I don't think João Félix is the only one either. You look at someone like Rodri, who maybe, you know, it could be argued possibly left to play, well, definitely he'd say he's playing a more attractive style of football now. I mean, with João Félix, he felt like a very un-Atletico signing back in 2019. You know, he's this club record signing for a 19-year-old. He seems like more of a Real Madrid player in some ways, you know. But equally, as Dermot says there, it's not as if Simeone can't work with creative players. It's just that he wants those creative players to really put a shift in. You look at how pivotal Antoine Griezmann has been to that side, and that's just not something that João Félix has ever really achieved for him. I found it really interesting what Dermot said as well about how João Félix kind of becomes this symbol as well of how Atletico have changed under Simeone. They've gone from these underdogs to, you know, arguably as big or on a level with Real Madrid, or getting to that level. They move out of this crumbling Vicente Calderon Stadium to the Metropolitano. You know, don't forget they're one of the teams who found or tried to found this breakaway European Super League before kind of recanting on that. So that seems to clash a bit with this perception of them being underdogs. And I think that's something that the team sometimes is grappling with as well, if that's not too much of a metaphor to make, I guess. Yeah, look, João Félix, I think, probably hasn't been willing to do the dirty work at times that Simeone would like. Has also maybe been a bit inconsistent, which I know Dermot's written about, that he's only shown his talent in kind of
the big games.
Flash, yeah, exactly. Flashes for Atletico. And in all this, he's still got a contract with Atletico until 2029, which he renewed just before leaving to Barca. So we'll see what happens. It's hard to see a positive conclusion, though, to that relationship.
And I want to quickly touch on that, Dermot, in terms of, you know, you've got this big weight financially that is João Félix still on Atletico's books, but they're not a club that spends loads either. You know, like what's their transfer policy? Like what kind of players are they looking at? You know, we talk about the incredible scouting of certain teams in the Premier League and, you know, and globally, but what's Atletico's focus when it comes to scouting and what they're willing to spend on a player?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And a lot of Atletico fans also ask themselves that question quite often, and pundits. As I said before, it's a bit like the black box because there are different competing kind of power sources within the club, or different voices who all have a say. At the end, Gil Marín is the one who holds the purse strings, but sometimes they sign players because they think they want to sell them on. Like João Félix was definitely an investment. They saw him as being like a guy who was going to improve. The idea was that he'd come play under Simeone for a couple of years. Simeone would maybe knock a bit of a
sense into him.
Yeah, a bit of control and make him work a bit harder and focus more and whatever. And then they'd have a guy who they could sell to, you know, Man City or PSG or whoever, you know, make a profit on him. That was definitely the plan for Atletico, for João Félix himself, I'm pretty sure, and for you know, his agent and the people around him as well. Didn't work out that way at all. As an investment, it's been a disaster for Atletico and has counted badly, you know, for Simeone. It was a problem for Simeone with the owners. They have spent quite a good bit on players from time to time, like in strange ways as well. Like Lamar was a big signing for them, 60, 70 million when they signed him from Monaco, you know, teammate of Kylian Mbappe in that fantastic Monaco team from 5 or 6 years ago. he was another guy who you wouldn't immediately think of as a Diego Simeone type midfielder. He's been a bit of a disaster as well, really. He's been injured a lot, and when he has been fit, he's shown flashes of the talent that he has, but he just hasn't really fit with Simeone. They signed, you know, Rodrigo De Paul came in. He's more of a Simeone type player, another Argentine, a guy who Simeone had tracked for a long time. He has that edge to his play as well, as we saw in the World Cup when he was kind of like Messi's protector on the pitch to an extent. But he can also pass the ball and, you know, very, very good passer of the ball. So they have a mix of players who would be hard for any coach kind of to put together. I think that the squad often has imbalances in it. You know, Memphis Depay is another one that they picked up from Barcelona, who was a very clever signing, you could argue. You know, they saw that he was a talented player available from Barcelona at a decent price. But then he comes in and he's not ideal centre forward for a Simeone team. So Simeone has to try to work with him, and he has worked with him, and Memphis has scored some big goals, including against Inter in the last 16. But is he the ideal player? Does he have to sell on? It's hard to know. So again, with Atletico, some of their transfer decisions are always difficult to decipher, I think is a way of putting it.
This is the Athletic FC podcast with Ayo Akinwalere.
With Simeone, I don't think he could ever manage in England, just purely because when he was speaking in the dressing room before any game, he was so passionate and the emotion from him was so high. You know, you're just like ready to go to war for him. Regardless of you playing, if it's Cadiz or Levante or Barcelona, it's the same. That's his mindset. And that's why he'd get frustrated by managing England, because he couldn't get his message across to the certain individual or the players, because it's that emotional.
Because the culture's different over here. Or?
And that was the culture, because he doesn't speak fluent English.
Right.
So
yeah, right.
The way he speaks and the way he wants to get his message across, he wouldn't be able to deliver it the same as he does in Spanish.
Well, that was Kieran Trippier talking about life under Diego Simeone. Thomas, you know, we've talked about Atletico Madrid's style, and, you know, a few years ago, Diego Simeone was linked with some of the big jobs in the Premier League, Manchester United, Chelsea, Arsenal. Does his style work for any of those teams that are looking to move forward in a much more progressive fashion?
I do think it probably comes down to style, because clearly as a motivator, you'd argue he's second to none, definitely from what you can see on a weekly basis at Atletico. But yeah, stylistically, would he fit at Liverpool, Bayern? I'm not so sure. And more importantly than that, even if the style was getting results, the minute you lose playing a more defensive kind of style, even if, as we've said there, it's evolved into something a bit more possession-based, we know what happens in the big games. And, you know, can you imagine the uproar if Manchester United lost a Champions League round of 16 tie having played that? So it's difficult. I also think there's a sense that Simeone would need to manage a club, maybe a bit like Klopp, where he feels a deep emotional connection, whether that be Inter Milan or on an international level, Argentina. And I'm not sure where he's going to get that apart from the clubs he's previously played for or his home country.
Dermot, you know, isn't he in the perfect position where he's almost worshipped like a god at this club? You know, whatever he does for the next few seasons, he'll be fine. The pressures of trying to take of someone like Liverpool right now, where you need to get them back firing after Jurgen Klopp, could be a bit tricky for a guy who, as we've seen, perhaps can't be as flexible as other managers.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. He definitely, say 5 or 6 years ago, you know, when Atletico, after they were beaten in the 2016 Champions League final, which is, well, 8 years ago now. But around that time, he was thinking very seriously about his future. Remember, he was there in Milan, and his press conference after the final, it looked like he was going to go. Like, it definitely looked like he'd taken Atletico as far as he could, and he didn't feel he could give the passion and the energy and everything that he had given in those first years at Atletico to the club. He went back to Argentina. Gil Marín flew out to Buenos Aires to talk to him at that stage, which was, you know, unusual. Normally, it would have been the other way around for their meetings, but Gil Marín went to convince him to stay. And, you know, it seems like it may be a missed opportunity for Simeone himself at this stage. That if he had gone to the Premier League, there was a lot of talk about Chelsea at that time, and it might have been, you know, he'd beaten Chelsea a couple of times, or he'd beaten Chelsea once, especially in the Champions League in a big game. Fantastic performance. And he was kind of fashionable at that stage, and maybe it would have worked out. but he tried to learn English, you know, found it difficult to learn English. And I think he realizes himself that he does need, as Thomas said, and as Kieran Trippier said as well, that that emotional connection, that ability to communicate, to make the players realize how important it is, almost scared him a little bit into giving everything. It would be very difficult for him, you know, if he went to Chelsea now, for instance, or to Manchester United, to walk into those dressing rooms would be very difficult for him. And maybe there's an argument you'd have sometimes with some Atletico fans over whether he still has that same, you know, passion and enthusiasm himself day to day as he has had after, you know, 14 years. You know, mentioned before about him going to the royal wedding. That's not something that you associate with El Cholo, with the street warrior kind of from before. I don't think I'm not sure I'd have the courage to actually say that to him face to face. But maybe it's true. Maybe that's why Atletico, you know, raise their games only occasionally or for the biggest occasions now, that they do, you know, can find it more difficult to get up for a trip to Almeria at the weekend. You would wonder how it would have worked out had he gone at that stage. But I think his time has gone. He's not fashionable. He's not Roberto De Zerbi or, you know, Ruben Amorim or Thiago Motta, who he'd know very well, who's at Bologna now. You know, these are the guys who are getting linked with the big jobs. It's not Simeone. And, you know, he has the big salary at Atletico as well, which has been something that, you know, he has kept him attached to Atletico over the years too.
Dermot paints a wonderful picture of this sort of socialite. Thomas, you know, living well with royalty, you know, he's got a pretty cushy job and he's actually taken a pay cut to, would you say, reinforce his commitment to the cause? Look at it as from a human perspective. You're looking left and right. Well, no big clubs are really that interested. My family are here. Come on, man. Like, life is good.
I do like that idea of Simeone with the edges kind of off a bit, you know, it's smoothed over a bit maybe now, going to these royal weddings. I think, yeah, obviously the reported salary before, which was, you know, said to be the among the highest in Europe, definitely clashed with the idea that, okay, this is a guy that can't do maybe as many styles of play as other great managers around. The pay cut, maybe it is in keeping a little bit with his perception. Now he's great for Atletico. He's so firmly embedded there. It's really difficult to imagine Atletico without him. But as Dermot says, he isn't attracting the same kind of suitors that he would be before. So maybe that just makes sense, really, from that point of view.
Yeah, well, of course, Atletico Madrid are going to be playing Borussia Dortmund in at the first leg of their Champions League quarterfinal on Wednesday. Let's see what happens there. Dermot, Thomas, thanks so much for your time. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast. We're back tomorrow.
The Athletic.